Thank you, worship team, for those beautiful songs. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is always there for you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I certainly appreciated those songs. I invite you, if you have your Bible with you and you want to follow along, to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. I'll be reading an account here of when the disciples were out in the boat in the midst of the storm. In fact, this is actually found four places throughout the Gospels, Mark 4, Luke 8, and John 6. I've chosen to use this account here in Matthew 14. I begin reading then at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the place, the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly whole. Lord, we ask that you would bless now this word in our hearing. Would you give me, Father, the thoughts and words to share today? And we do pray the blessed Holy Spirit would minister to every heart. We love you, Jesus. We give you thanks for all that you do and what you mean to us. In your precious and worthy name, we pray with thanksgiving. And everyone said, amen, amen. Comfort in the midst of storm. Are we living in a stormy world? My, a week and a half ago, we thought it was stormy. I think and pray every day, many times a day, for our dear friends there in Ukraine. I have missionary friends that served over there. They're precious people that love the Lord just like we do, and they're praying for miracles, and I'm praying with them that God would undertake, praying for their deliverance, praying against the aggressor. And yet as I pray, I think of those young Russian soldiers, many, 18 to 20, I understand, don't want to be there, are confused why they're there, and yet are giving their lives. And I'm praying that somehow they would turn to Christ, and they also would know our Savior. Our Christian faith is secure as long as we live daily, knowing that God is with us even in the midst of the storm. America as a whole is facing storms politically, because as a nation, we seem to be almost evenly divided. Our president is under intense scrutiny, every word spoken, every action carried out. Now, whether you appreciate our president or not is beside the point. God instructs us in his word that we are to pray for those who have authority over us. National leaders, our judges, civil workers, and local government. And so as believers, I think we all would agree today we have a lot to pray for. And I trust that you are. So most of us this morning are familiar with this story found here in Matthew 15. Jesus walking on the water. How would you have reacted if you would have seen that white robed person coming to you on the water? I think I would have been a bit scared too. So we can't be too hard on these disciples. We've heard this story for most of us since Sunday school days. And it's an interesting story, being out there in that little boat in a raging storm. My wife and I took a cruise a number of years ago, and there was a few nights that it got pretty rough, and I looked out our port window, and I saw waves like 30, 40 feet high, and I thought, oh my, I would have rather been back on the soil of Pennsylvania. But how would you feel if you were in a tiny little boat and the waves are coming in? And we say, well, what was wrong with those disciples? Didn't they think Jesus would save them? Well, let's move on here. He was performing many miracles at this time. I think it's good to understand that we are approaching here in his ministry the high point. How about the time he fed the 5,000? With five loaves and two fishes. And then gathered up, 12 baskets left over? That's what I call heaven's multiplication. If you were in a restaurant, that would make good business, wouldn't it? His popularity was spreading. Except the religious authorities of the day were very upset with him. Yes, persecution was beginning to happen everywhere. King Herod had just put cousin John the Baptist to death. Matthew notes the significance of this cruel death, beheading him. He says here that Herod heard of the fame of Jesus, and he thought perhaps it might be John the Baptist come back to life. But he also tells us that when Jesus heard the news of John's death, he departed to a desert place to pray. You can imagine or try to imagine the personal pain he must have felt. See, John was his first cousin. And they probably played together growing up. And as teenagers had lots of fun. Or didn't you think that Jesus had fun? There's a long gap there that we don't have anything recorded. And when I get to heaven, I want to find out what he did growing up. I'm inquisitive like that. But here at this precise moment, Jesus turns to his disciples and he said, okay, get in the boat and go across the lake. I'll dismiss the crowds and we'll get together somehow. Now this Sea of Galilee is a large body of water. Incidentally, have you ever been there? Okay, I see a few hands. I'll tell you, I had the trip of a lifetime a few years ago to go to Israel with my twin brother, and that was quite interesting. If you knew us, I am the quiet, reserved one, and he's the out-in-your-face one. We would get on the tour bus in the morning, and I would quietly take my seat, and my brother Ron would come on. He said, good morning, family. How are you doing today? And I'm there, oh. But that was my brother Ron. But it was a good trip, a good time, and we went to the Sea of Galilee, got on a boat, and went out into the middle of the sea. Calm, sun was shining, hardly a breeze, and I had to think of this story. Now, there's mountains all around, and you can see across, there's little villages. It's a rather large body of water. And so, the disciples are out in the middle of this sea, in troubled waters. We need to remember they didn't have a motorboat engine. It was either sail or oars. And they weren't any different than any of us today. They started their day out thinking, well, we'll just go across and everything will be fine. Do we know what tomorrow holds? It could have wonderful joys, surprises, but then it could be heartaches. I'm so thankful that we don't meet any of that by ourselves. The Lord is with us. I wouldn't want to face a day without him. How about you? We need him. every day. So let's consider this morning then three things. First of all, we must learn to recognize Jesus. We must learn to recognize Jesus. Now, the disciples had been living and walking with him for 3 years. And I think that they thought they knew him in a personal way, intimate way. And yet from this incident here, we realize they had much to learn. I wonder, is that our experience sometimes? Those unexpected circumstances, events of life, which we simply seem to lack the recognition of Christ's presence with us. Now, I know when we're in church, when we're in prayer, when we're reading the Word of God, we know Jesus is there with us. When we're ministering to others, helping them, we're Jesus' hand extended. Helpful Helen here today, she certainly would know what I'm talking about. Helping others, extending your hands as Jesus did. But what about the darkness of the night? When everything seems to come rolling in on you. Those lonely times, those personal struggles. And you know, every one of us here today are going to face them. If you haven't, it's coming. Are we able to recognize Jesus in those times? The disciples here had lots to learn. But they're preoccupied, struggling in their present moment. They felt the wind, and I try to imagine what that would have been like, the pelting rain, the crashing waves. They feared, felt the threat of death as the waves were coming in over the boat. And I don't want to minimize that at all. Not sure how I would have been reacting myself if I'd been there with them. I know those times that storms come up and I'm inside the house and the wind is blowing and things are going by and the rain is pelting. I'm saying, Lord, protect us, keep this house together. But here they're out in the middle of the sea in a little boat. Point is, they got their minds off of Jesus and didn't recognize him when he did come to them. Friends, we need to learn to look to Jesus when the troubles come. Life has a way of reminding us of that. Just when we think everything's going smooth and everything is well and under control, then it happens. Storm clouds roll in, winds begin to blow. Could be we think, well, our problems are pretty well solved now, and all of a sudden the phone rings or the doorbell sounds to some unexpected news. So each day has its surprises. We have so much to learn, but isn't this life? Changes are bound to take place every day. And here the disciples were about to learn a tremendous lesson. The truth that Jesus is in the storm with us. They knew he was the supplier of their needs, or so they thought. They had witnessed him pay taxes from money out of the mouth of a fish. Wouldn't that be nice? Tax time's coming, just go fishing. I'm sure there's some fishermen here, and you get a fish in there, there's a big silver dollar in there. You know, that's worth a lot of money these days. We struggle with the thought that we need the storm to teach us as well. Maybe we're not walking as close to the Lord as we should. And we don't hear his whispers until there's times that he has to shout to us. We believe Jesus for our salvation and sanctification. We believe him that he meets our every need. We trust him for the day of our glorification when we'll go to that heavenly home. When everything else is falling apart, we seem to have difficulty seeing that he's there with us. But oh, brothers and sisters, remember, you're not alone. You're not alone. Yes, we all suffer setbacks. Our dreams may not come to fruition like we hoped they would. Disappointments and sadness is part of life for many of us. But I've heard it said put like this, my address is on the mountaintop, but I spend most of my living down in the valley. That's where we depend on the blessed Holy Spirit when we're in total despair. So I believe that Jesus was testing them just as he does us at times. He wants to see what we're made of. He wants to see, is your faith holding on? How much can we depend on him? But secondly, we must learn to cope with our fears. We must learn to cope with our fears. Fear is a destructive force that plagues each one of us at certain times of life. Now, it can be normal and helpful. I'll never have the problem falling off a mountainside because I don't like heights and I don't go mountain climbing. So I'm safe. Here about a year ago, I was on top of a stepladder painting my chicken hutch, which was actually a small building. And when I backed down on the stepladder, suddenly that stepladder decided I didn't need it any longer. And down I fell 6 or 8 feet and flat on my back. My one shoe flew off, my hat flew off, and my breath flew out of me. You ever have that experience? Terrible. Thought I was dying for a bit. And then I realized my whole body was so shaken, I never realized the pain that would go along with that. My daughter just happened to be visiting with us, and she's a registered nurse. She said, Daddy, you're going to the ER immediately. I said, No, I'm okay. She works, what's the department? Orthopedic. She sees a lot of older people that trip and fall and break a leg or a hip. And she said, you fell about 8 feet. Well, thank the Lord, there was no broken bones at all. But guess what? You don't find me crawling a stepladder unless my wife's right there to hold on to it. So fear can be good. It can keep us from problems. You know, the Webster's Dictionary says it this way. Fear, it's an emotion excited by threatening evil or impending pain, accompanied by a desire to avoid or escape apprehension, dread, uneasiness about a thing, horror, alarm, terror, dismay, or fright. I think that pretty well covers it. Fear can come in various shades of meaning. It can be a spiritual force. It can destroy one if we yield ourselves to it because we don't look to Jesus. And you know that God is not the author of fear. Remember that. He doesn't send fear on his people. He made all things. He sustains all things. He holds the key to all things. He's in charge and he's in control of things. And friends, today he is on his throne. Praise the Lord. No matter how dark it may look out there, God is still in control. The Bible proves that we have nothing to fear. So then, why do we? Psalm 62:11 says, once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God and that to you, O Lord. And then Matthew, Jesus' own words there in verse 18 of chapter 28. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So then I say, my friends, as God's children, why do we have to fear? Many of you have seen God work and move in your lives in such a way that you know it had to be God, the answers to prayer. Steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The psalmist tells us there in Psalm 37:23. And then in the very next verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've always prayed in my life that I'm either up or getting up. We're down, we don't stay down. Yes, God knows that we're made of dust. He knows that we falter and fail at times, but he's there to pick us up, praise his name, when we cry out to him. And so if he's holding our hand, then he must be with us, amen? He's never very far away. He keeps us in his sight. And so when all things look like it's going wrong, remember, he's still in control. The disciples didn't recognize him because they thought he was still up in the mountaintop praying. And we know that God, and there's a God in heaven, that someday we're going to see him. And his presence is also with us now. He's here in the midst of storm. Psalm 107, verses 29 and 30. He made the storm be still, and the winds of the sea were hushed. And they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. You know, Jesus only needs to say three words, peace, be still. And it is. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 4, verse 6, there's going to be a booth for shade by day from the heat and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and rain. And I'm so glad that Timothy tells us there in 2 Timothy 1, 7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. God is living with us. There's no room for fear. Oh, may we discover that as we walk closer to the Lord Jesus. Third and last, we must learn to trust God in the darkest hour. Learn to trust God in the darkest hour. Did you ever wonder what some of those disciples may have been thinking that night? No. They reacted, I'm sure, like many of us. And I've heard say that storms can come up quickly over the Sea of Galilee. There's contrary winds that come down off the mountains, and that's probably what happened here. But let's speculate just for a minute. One disciple might have said, well, this is certainly the work of the devil. He's wanting to kill us all because we're doing good in Jesus' name. Another may have thought, where have we gone wrong? Which one of us here has hidden sin in their life? God must be angry and punishing someone on this boat. Or, why us? We're doing what Jesus told us to do. Didn't he say to go across the sea? Sail to the other side? We're just following his command. So why is this happening to us? I'm sure every one of us have had those times of questioning, going through hard places. Why me? Well, when did Jesus finally come? It was in the fourth watch of the night, early morning. I mean, they were out there all night long, laboring and struggling and trying to keep that boat afloat. And I had a new thought. Jesus certainly knew what was happening out there. He could look from the mountain onto that sea, and he could see that his disciples, the ones he loved so dearly, their lives were so close to perishing. But I think he knew they needed to go through that to learn a great lesson, and so he waited to go down to them. I have to confess, times that troubles have come, and I've done everything I knew in my power to take care of it, and then the last, I said, oh, I ought to pray about this. But really, you know, we need to pray first. Turn to Jesus first so he can calm the storm. Praise the Lord for the peace that he does give in those times of testing. And I say, Lord, why didn't I trust you sooner? It's important that we recognize that Jesus is in the storm for the purpose for each one of us to be strengthened in our faith. Oh, may we find rest in him, even in turmoil. I think of 1 Peter 5:7, where he says that we're to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for us, everyone here today. Praise his name. So no matter what form it may come, disease, sickness, pain, loss, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus is there for us. Perhaps this morning you're going through a difficult situation. I don't know you folks. Maybe someone has had a hard week. Maybe a big decision is ahead of you. All I can say is look to Jesus. Trust him. and he's going to see you through. This time, the worship team's coming again for a closing song as we stand together.